And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to the today's theme, I want to announce the results of this week's poll. I asked a simple yes-no question. Will the California primary be meaningful in determining who the Republican presidential candidate will be in 2012? Of those people taking the poll, only 42% said yes, the California primary will be important, an overwhelming 58% said no, it will not be important at all. A new survey is up on my website, brainstormingonline.com. I'd urge you to go there, and I ask a more quality of life question. Today's question for the week is, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a daughter that is, well, let's say, of real questionable moral concerns, this class slut, or would you rather have a daughter that has no friends? Go onto the website, brainstormingonline.com. That's brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com, and cast your vote. I'll announce the winners of this week's poll on next Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is quieting the spirit. Each of my guests is talking about quieting the spirit and the benefits that come from that. My next guest is the world's quietest and most thoughtful former corporate lawyer. We'll discuss the power of introverts in a world that just can't stop talking from her book titled Quiet. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Susan Cain practiced corporate law for over 7 years before becoming a writer. She represented clients like J.P. Morgan, General Electric, and then worked as a negotiations consultant, training all kinds of people from hedge fund managers to TV producers to college students negotiating their first salaries. From all of this, you might guess that she's a hardcore, wonderfully self-confident, pound-the-table, type A type of personality. The fact is, she's just the opposite. She prefers listening to talking, reading to socializing, and cozy chats to group settings. She likes to think before she speaks, and when she speaks softly. She's never given a speech without being terrified first. Susan went undergrad at Princeton University and got her law degree from the Harvard Law School. She lives on the banks of the Hudson River and an 1822 captain's cottage, along with her husband, her sons, and the magnolia trees. Joining us from the greater New York area. Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Hi there. It is so great to be here, Billy.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest on the show. I love it. And I love it for a number of reasons. Not only do I like the subject matter, but I myself am an introvert. And interestingly enough, nearly half of all Americans are introverts. And yet, as a culture, the American culture, we have a fascination with extroverts, something that you call the extrovert ideal. So what is the extrovert ideals, and why do extroverts resonate so well with Americans?
Well, the extrovert ideal, it's the idea that the ideal self, that the ideal person is bold and is gregarious and is comfortable in the spotlight. And this is deeply embedded in our culture, and it's been with us at least since the turn of the 20th century. At that time we suddenly saw the rise of big business, right? And so suddenly, Americans were leaving their small towns, and they were flocking into the cities, and they were looking for jobs at big corporations. And so where once they had been living out their lives, you know, alongside neighbors who had known them all their lives, now suddenly they faced the question of, how do I stand out in a crowd, and how do I do well at a job interview and on a sales call? And so we went through this profound cultural shift at this time. Historians call it a shift from a culture of character to a culture of personality, where in the culture of character, we had been once more concerned with moral rectitude. And people admired Abraham Lincoln because he was a guy, they said, who didn't offend by acting too superior. But in the culture of personality, suddenly qualities like being very magnetic and very charismatic were what we started to admire. And we're still living with that culture of personality today.
Oh, without a doubt. We see it in our presidential candidates. We see it in the celebrities. We see it in Snooki and all of the people that we create as our ideal. My guest is Susan Cain. But, Susan, you're broadcasting into California, and we're just miles away from Hollywood, so I have to ask the question. I agree with you completely that all of this began at the beginning of the 20th century. But my question to you is this. How much of this shift towards personality was a result of the movie industry, seeing guys like Errol Flynn up on the screen and the swashbuckler, and how much of it was, as you said, moving away into the bigger cities?
Well, that is such a good question, and the answer is that the two went together hand in hand. It was a real interaction, because so at the same time that Americans were moving into the cities and trying to figure out, okay, how can I become, you know, this kind of magnetic person? That's exactly when movie stars were created. And so who better than a movie star to be the ultimate role model of the charismatic, magnetic person? And so the two really fed into each other. The more there were movie stars, the more people were focused on this. The more people were living in corporate, or were trying to succeed in corporate life, the more they came to revere movie stars who could show them the way forward.
My guest is Susan Cain, author of the book Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. So, Susan, you laid out the causes for the problem, the culture of the extrovert ideal. What are some of the things that we lose if we focus so much on that extrovert ideal?
Well, there's a number of things. Excuse me, I'll just tell you about a couple of them. So, you know, one of them is we've started to see recently the dangers of having a society that is a little bit too focused on risk-taking, you know, and what goes wrong with that. And we've seen it with the financial crisis. We're seeing it now with climate change. You know, and it turns out that introverts and extroverts have very, very different approaches to risk-taking. And we desperately need both kinds. We need both kinds really operating in tandem. So extroverts are much more comfortable kind of seizing the day. And this is enormously beneficial, you know, in terms of going out and getting what you want and moving things forward. But extroverts are also more likely to take enormous unwarranted risks. So they get into more car accidents than introverts do. They place larger financial bets. They change marriages more frequently. Introverts, in contrast, have a much more circumspect style. And a perfect example of this is Warren Buffett, who's a self-described introvert, and you know, who is admired exactly because he can see warning signals coming as an investor. As an investor, he did not participate in, you know, the tech bubble or in the housing market bubble. He sat those out, and as a result, he's doing well today.
Yes, he came in and swept up the ashes when all had gone to heck in a handbasket. There's no question. But let me just challenge you, if I can, a little bit on that, Susan, and we'll use Warren Buffett as the example. Clearly, Warren Buffett is more circumspect than, say, a Donald Trump, who would be the other end of the spectrum, the extrovert that sees the day with the multiple wives and taking unwarranted risks. However, Warren Buffett, by being on television in magazines, he was on the cover of Time magazine 3 weeks ago. He's on television constantly. Doesn't he run the risk of all of a sudden losing that circumspect and becoming more of an extrovert simply because of his activities in the media?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say so at all. You know, I see those activities as the kind of thing that introverts do all the time. You know, you kind of have to step out of your normal self sometimes and stretch a little bit. But that doesn't mean that your true self has changed. It just means that you're stretching for the sake of some larger goal. So, you know.
All right.
And by the way, extroverts do this too. It's a healthy thing to do. So extroverts, for example, I'll give you an example of a gentleman located near you, Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life,
yes.
The pastor of Saddleback Church. So he is a really extroverted guy, and he talks about what torture it was for him to sit still for 7 months to write that book. You know, it was really hard for him not to be interacting with people during that time. But he did it for the sake of a larger goal without turning into a different person.
All right. My guest is Susan Cain, author of the book Quiet. Susan, I want to ask you a question, and this is, again, a quality of life type of a question. Are dominating, bombastic extroverts, are they overcompensating for a lack of security or a lack of self-worth? In other words, are introverts more or less secure with themselves than extroverts are?
You know, I haven't really seen anything that would point in one direction or another. I think that stuff is pretty personal. You know, people sometimes associate introversion with insecurity because they confuse it with shyness. And there is an overlap, but maybe I should explain the difference between the two.
Please.
So shyness is when you fear social judgment. You fear what other people think of you. And introversion is really simply a preference for less stimulating environments. You know, so you'd rather have a glass of wine with a close friend than go to a big loud party with strangers.
Got it. All right, I see the difference there. Now, in your book, you talk about a whole bunch of what we would consider very successful people who were, in fact, introverts. Albert Einstein, Mahatma Gandhi, Rosa Parks, who broke the color barrier, Warren Buffett, who you've already mentioned, Van Gogh, Theodore Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss, Larry Page, one of the founders of Google, Eleanor Roosevelt, George Orwell, the list goes on and on and on. We would not have had many of our great cultural, business, and societal changes if it hadn't been for these people. Why was their being an introvert so important to helping us as culture change in the direction that they eventually moved us in?
Well, that's such a good question, and, you know, hard to answer in one fell swoop because it's different in the case of each of these different people. It was like they were each drawing on different strengths of the introverted temperament to do what they did. So I'll just give you a couple examples.
Okay.
Let's say Rosa Parks. You know, she's an amazing figure to me because I had assumed until I learned more about her, I assumed that she actually was a quite, you know, a bold and tough kind of person. Because I thought that must be the kind of person who would be able to stand up to a busload of glowering people, you know, and take that sort of stand. And I was so wrong about that. She was actually quiet and shy and petite and timid, and also had the courage of a lion. That's what people say about her. And the fact that she did what she did, it was actually a very characteristically introverted thing to do. You know, she didn't stand up and make a speech. She didn't intentionally draw attention to herself. She just engaged in an intuitive act of nonviolent resistance. You know, she just said, no, I'm not going to get up. Quietly. She didn't really say anything at all. You know, through her very quiet presence, she was able to inspire the boycott of the Montgomery City buses that ultimately led to the integration of those buses.
Hmm.
And one corner of her story that I find so interesting is that when the boycott was finally over a year later and the integration was achieved, you know, they kind of gathered all the leaders of the movement together for publicity. And the New York Times came and all the other papers came. And no one even thought to include Rosa Parks that day. She was not included in that publicity because she wasn't that kind of person. And that was actually okay with her. She was home that day taking care of her mother. You know, but in the long arc of history, we recognize the contribution that a person like this makes.
That's an amazing.
It's a very quiet style.
It's an amazing story, too. My guest is Susan Cain, author of the book Quiet. And Susan, I said at the outset that I am an introvert, which is rather interesting because I'm on the radio doing what I do. But the reality is that I do prefer to go home after the show and sort of recharge my batteries and so forth. But I'm an introvert living in what we idealize as an extroverted world. So I need some help. I need some guidance. Give me some ideas of how and when we should pretend to be an extrovert, even though we are introverts ourselves.
Right. Well, you know, it comes up in things like, let's say there's a networking event that you need to go to. You probably feel like staying home, probably the last thing you want to do. But there are times that you push yourself out the door and you go to the networking event. And then once you get there, maybe you really don't feel like going up and introducing yourself to someone and having to kind of, muck your way through the small talk before you get to a real conversation. But you push yourself to do it. But it's kind of like it's sort of a dance between pushing yourself but also being true to yourself. Because still, the way to weather this kind of a networking event is to do it in an introverted style. Which is to say, you know, you get there and you're not looking to, I always advise people, don't look to work the room. You know, your goal should not be to emerge with a whole fistful of business cards. Because that's not going to do you any good anyway. Your goal should be to connect with one person. Like, there's this one person who you had a sincere, honest-to-God conversation with, and you really like them, and you're going to stay in touch, that is successful.
All right.
That's something that can feel very authentic.
That is. That's very good advice. My guest is Susan Cain. Susan, we're introverts living in an extroverted world. We've got to negotiate from time to time, whether it's salary negotiations, getting a new job. Maybe it's negotiating with your children, trying to get them to do what you want them to do, whatever it may be. How can we better negotiate with extroverts when we're introverts in their extroverted world?
Oh, well, introverts are often very talented negotiators, and this is because so many of the elements that have been identified as you know, key to successful negotiation are things that introverts do naturally. So, for example, introverts are very good listeners. They are very good askers of questions. And if you want to break an impasse with somebody where, you know, you feel like you're at loggerheads, the best way to do it is just to ask questions in an open spirit. You know, are you sure that's really what your goal is, or isn't there really another way to look at this? You know, so you ask questions like that. you know, as long as you have, as long as you believe in what you are saying, you don't have to say it in the loudest voice to get people to pay attention to you.
And that is reassuring for the introverts in the room and the introverts listening to with the sound of our voice. My guest has been Susan Cain, author of the book Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Susan, you have probably piqued the interest of many of the introverts in my audience. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. I have a website. It is called thepowerofintroverts.com. And on the website, you can find links to buy my book, Quiet, the Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. And you can also find the book in bookstores and on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and so on.
Including
our website, you'll find also a blog and a forum to connect with other introverts.
And you can find the book also in our own bank of books, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Susan, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. I so enjoyed it, Billy.
Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.